Hi, David Lee here from storiesthatchange.com and Human Nature at Work. You're about to hear an excerpt from an interview that I did with Ted Matthews, author of the outstanding book, Brand, It Ain't the Logo, It's What People Think of You. I wanted to share this excerpt with you because it contains many great examples of the power of storytelling. And it's also a great example of the content of the stories are great teaching lessons. But what you'll hear in the interview excerpt is actually Ted starting off reading from a passage in his book, which is a great example of using a story to communicate how a leader leads by example. It's also, now we're kind of getting to the content of the story, it's a great example of using a story to help leaders understand how to translate mission and vision and their brand promise into real life, everyday behaviors. And so by them demonstrating how they're linking their behaviors and their day-to-day agenda with the bigger picture, it helps employees understand how they can do the same. You also hear some examples of great stories that celebrate employees making a difference and stories that communicate what their culture, this company's culture, is like. And so the stories that you hear are great examples of stories that you would use in employer branding messages. So rather than saying, in our company, employees can make a difference, and then moving on from there. So like, what does that mean? Well, you use a story to illustrate what that means. Or, our company makes a difference. Well, use a story that captures what does that actually mean. And so you'll hear example of stories that you can use employer branding, stories that you can use in videos of employees talking about what it's like to work in your organization. These stories are examples of stories that you would use in new hire orientation programs to make them more inspiring and also to communicate the norms and the values in your culture. And then last but not least, you'll hear an example, or actually several examples, of using stories that help employees connect with the bigger picture, or what Ted Matthews defines as a grander purpose. And this is actually one of the most powerful uses of stories in a way of using stories to what I think of as unleash the inner hero of your employees that elicits their courage and determination and resilience and enables them to rise to the challenge during difficult times. So both the content of the stories as well as seeing a great example of how to use stories to illustrate a point. So here's Ted Matthews.
At 6 a.m. every Monday, Jay would send his staff their first email of the week. In it, he would report his personal schedule for every day in the week ahead and how his planned activities related to achieving the company vision. On Monday, he might be meeting with government regulators to help change policy for their product, hosting customers at a noon lunch, and handing out awards to the local brownie troop that evening. Then he'd tell a story from the week before about a staff member who had done something special. So this was, you know, I think a perfect demonstration of a CEO walking the talk and really demonstrating what it is that he wants the organization, and the organization has said they want to achieve. In this case, the telephone company Alliant, their vision was to be the organization with the closest connection to the hearts and minds of Atlantic Canadians. And for that, it really took this kind of soft touch, as well as hard touch, I guess, but soft touch to be connecting with communities through brownie troops, standing up in front of parents and talking about the importance of community. And for a hard, you know, typically a hard-ass CEO to stand up in front of this kind of environment and to talk about why, you know, Atlantic Canada and its connections are important and the role that this organization had was something that just went through the whole company. Core to this was his attempting to put together the four different telcos of the four different Atlantic provinces of Canada, cultures that were very different, and he was out to make it one seamless organization with this common vision. And so his, you know, his very act of sending out that very first email Monday morning, I mean, here, holy cow, here was the CEO. He was sending emails at 6 a.m. Monday morning and talking about the, you know, the days ahead, which included, you know, this kind of evening meetings with brownie troops, you know, in some distant outport, and he was there. And so while they thought, you know, employees thought their job was hard in trying to get their arms around all this change that was having to happen on top of their regular daily jobs, they could see the CEO was more than pulling his weight and doing it. So I think this is, you know, leading by example and demonstrating. And so, and then he would always do it in a very humble way. It would be him telling stories about other workers and people that had, you know, workers within the firm that had had demonstrated their regard for the hearts and minds of Atlantic Canadians by going above and beyond, by making sure that a community that was cut off by a storm was reconnected, you know, through kind of working overnight and heroic deeds of getting equipment that was needed and doing those kinds of things. In fact, in the midst of this branding project that I was working on, of working with Jay on this, there was a nor'easter blow through, and the phone, of course, the phone is often the thing that goes down the first, the landlines, and now the internet lines as well with it. And so there were stories that emerged were of the CEO out in his car on unlit streets now, delivering coffee and encouragement to staff. And of course, that went through the whole organization, that he was out there at 4 in the morning like they were. And so was a big part of the story that helped to build this strong emotional connection, first inside the organization, and then had it start to really ooze out to the outside and everybody in the community.
Boy, that's the opening passage you read, as well as the follow-up stories. I mean, it's so jam-packed with great teaching lessons that I've been taking notes here. I want to walk through them.
Okay, please.
Yeah. So the passage that you read from your book with about the Monday morning email, what a great story that illustrates how a leader can, by demonstrating their line of sight between their actions and their mission and vision and brand values, it helps make that clear for employees.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
And you think about, as you were reading that, I found myself thinking about the Harris Interactive study that Stephen Covey made famous, where only 20% of employees surveyed had a line of sight between what they were doing and the big picture.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you think,
absolutely.
Yeah. And you think about how many clients you've worked with where, in the beginning, employees had no real clue about how specifically they can contribute to that big picture in their
exactly.
brand.
Yeah, and as well, you know, when you see a CEO, and CEO is a talent that, you know, can come in from any industry, but is often not understood. So here's a fellow that had come in from the commercial real estate world as a CFO. This was his first CEO role, and certainly what had gone through the whole organization was, what does this guy know about phones?
Yeah.
What does this guy know about technology? What is it? Well, in the bottom line, it's, you know, I'm not trying, Jay's saying, I'm not here to tell you about technology. You're the experts on that. I'm here to get us to this vision, which is to be, if we were the strongest connection to the hearts and minds of Atlantic Canadians, wouldn't that be what, you know, what the phone company could be. I mean, connection is part of what we do. We bring mothers and daughters together. We bring grandfathers and grandsons together. We, you know, we do this, you know, and he would talk like that and would literally tear up over it. The good news was, I guess in part of it was, he had grown up in Atlantic Canada and ended up, you know, going to Harvard and then ending up working in Toronto, the big city away, and then came back to Atlantic Canada with this. So he did have roots there and could speak very genuinely about it. But in an industry that he had, you know, no deep or formal training in, but he knew his strengths were and are as a leader, and he demonstrated that, as you say, in everything he did.
Yeah, there's a couple other points I'd like to highlight about what you said. So another great point, and it relates to when you were talking about how he would share stories of workers demonstrating their regard for. Now, is the term you're using hearts and minds? Is that or is
yes, hearts and minds.
The hearts and minds. I mean, you talked about heroic deeds during the nor'easter of getting equipment that was needed, etc. And I just want to highlight that point because it's a great example of what made the Stick authors, Chip and Dan Heath, talk about the value and the power of stories is they provide both inspiration and simulation.
Yes.
Yeah, and so you think about as he's telling those stories, not only are they inspiring where people sense that heroic spirit that they're part of, but it's also great simulation because it's teaching them we notice these things and we value these kinds of behaviors.
Absolutely, and grants them permission to, in a like situation, go ahead and do it and know the company's behind you and, you know, and you're acting properly and consistent with what we want to be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, there's another. There's actually two other things that you mentioned that I want to highlight because they're so awesome. So the example that you gave of Jay Forbes going out in his car in the unlit streets, delivering coffee and encouragement to employees and how that went through the organization. Now, if I could just comment on that on a couple of different levels. So this is a great example of technically, I guess it would be like a story excerpt, you know, if I want to get technical. You described briefly what happened. And I point that out because one of the biggest questions that I get from people about using stories, questions and concerns, is about the appropriateness of a story because, you know, people are going to be impatient. They don't want to hear this long, drawn-out tale.
Right.
But you think about, in less than a minute, you painted a picture that is a really powerful teaching story for other leaders.
Right.
Like, you know, this is what a servant leader looks and acts like.
Right.
Now, the second piece that, just for people to kind of build on this, is when you talked about that story, you know, traveling through the organization, one of the ways of building on that, one of the things I always like to do with people when I hear a story about a leader doing something that's really great is I'll ask them, you know, what did that mean to you that they, you know, did that? How did that affect you? And so for listeners, going that extra step can help make that story even more eye-opening to leaders that you're sharing that with.
Right.
Do you want to say anything about that before I point out the other thing that you mentioned that I thought was great?
Yeah, I don't know how much more I have to add to that, David. I think it was, you know, it was, again, it was right within, it wasn't Jay saying, oh, by the way, I was out on the road at 4 a.m. to anybody. It was his own people going, wow, and spreading the word. And so through social media mobility, I mean, they all have phones. They're spreading the word and saying, you know what, that bugger showed up. You know, he was out there, and he wasn't sitting at home, you know, warm and cozy while we were out on a pole blowing back and forth in the wind. He was, you know, at the bottom of the pole saying, you know, like, here's some coffee, and what do you need, and can I get you anything, and what can I do, and are there any strings, and, you know, guys, and this is fantastic, and see you later, you know, and so they were telling the stories about how, and so they just took and spread the story of his support and, you know, this very, very physical demonstration of, you know, what he was wanting us all to do. So
I love that. What do you remember? Do you remember anything that they said about what that meant to them, that here he was out there versus warm and cozy in his house?
I don't specifically, David. I don't have a quote for you. Yeah, I think that's fair to say I don't have a quote I recall. I can't emphasize enough how, in this particular story, how the mood was, you know, this was a legislated jamming together of four very proud, you know, unionized telecommunications organizations from four very different and proud Atlantic Canadian provinces who felt they were losing a bit of their own identity, being jammed together with others, being asked for on top of their regular day job, which was already busy, to do all of this additional merger, you know, bringing together systems, bringing together accounting systems, bringing together human resources systems, bringing together all of the things that, you know, like to happen in these mergers. So they were being asked to do all this additional uncomfortable work, and they were doing it. They were seeing that a CEO was working as hard, both being up at 6 in the morning, both still work, you know, and still working at 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, and they were seeing, not because he said, look, I'm up at 6, but because they got their first email from him at 6 in the morning and saw his schedule, which would include he'd be away from his family most of the week as well, you know. And so it was just these very, you know, like, wow, look at that, you know, kind of things that really silently communicated that there was a big, important job to do with a grander purpose, which was this connection of all of us as Atlantic Canadians, as opposed to, you know, four of us trying to struggle and figure out how to work together.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that last point. Because it loops us back to the story that you talked about him talking with the people about the grandmothers and grandsons, grandfathers and granddaughters, and getting teared up. And it's a great example of when you just said about the grander purpose, the power of connecting people to meaning and purpose, and how that really rallies them and sort of like accesses their inner hero. And stories are a great way of doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this, and yeah, and people and emotions, and, you know, you could say that they were in the perfect business for that, because they were connecting people. And in the story of Atlantic Canadians is families often being pulled apart by sons and daughters going off to school and not coming back and this sort of thing. And for them to maintain, help maintain these connections, there were lots of stories to tell. And every one of them directly related to what these people were doing, what these employees were doing and being asked to do every day. So, and that was just information that Jay, you know, used and spread and talked about. There's another wonderful story about him. You know, like, I mean, when you're the president of a telecommunications company, you're thought of flipping around in your jet, and you're thought of, you know, that kind of out of touch kind of guy. And so the story of that went through head office was 10 o'clock at night, there's a focus group going on with T teenagers about mobility phones. So this is where the classic example of where they sit in a room and you're sitting on the other side of a mirrored wall watching people talk about mobility and hearing their likes and dislikes and searching for suggestions and solutions. And so the group's there working away and all of a sudden Jay walks in. So this is like 9:30 at night on let's call it a Tuesday night. And he walks in and he's in his jeans and a t-shirt and a leather coat and cowboy boots, walks in and sits down and says, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, and watches for a while. And, you know, like, and it's just sort of like blows people's mind. And he gets into discussion about, you know, these young people and talks about his own kids, you know, and his own, and how they would share what's being said in the room. And then in 20 minutes he's gone. And they're all kind of mouths open, like, "Wow, what was that? You know, that was amazing." And all of a sudden they're not feeling so bad about being away from their families that night. And here's a guy that's coming down to their level by walking in jeans and a leather coat, you know. And so again, the magic word here in their whole brand foundation was this connection. And it was going to start, as everything that certainly my work finds, David, is that it has to start inside. There's no just saying we're going to do this. It has to be built from the inside. And then, you know, it's sort of an ugly word, but it has to ooze out. And it's in every interaction after that.